Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The mayor, Sean Casey, is with us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can watch Sean across MLB Network's programming throughout the season. Plus, he'll be part of MLB Network's exclusive Hall of Fame induction ceremony coverage this Sunday, beginning at 11 a.m. Eastern. I was mentioning earlier in the show, Sean, that I've been to Cooperstown five times for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Unfortunately, I can't go this year, but I love the town. I love the ceremony. I love seeing all the Hall of Famers on the stage. Thanks for joining us, and excited about a big weekend.
Oh, yeah. What's up, fellas? Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going up on a Friday. I'm golfing with Tommy on Saturday, which will be really cool.
Nice.
I've never golfed in that. He called me and wanted to know if I would golf with him. It's going to be old times. It's me, him, Richie Sexton, and I don't know who our fourth is. So, you know, back in like 1998 spring training, the three of us were doing picks every morning with Brian Graham. So it's so funny to I could be back together. So it's going to be a great weekend. I'm so excited for Jimmy. All the guys going in, but, you know, Tom's one of my best friends and just really excited to see him go in and his kids and everybody. I'm sure there'll be a ton of people there for him.
Is he nervous? Is he anxious? What's he feeling right now?
He's a little bit all that stuff. He's really excited. I just texted him today. He's really pumped up. But yeah, he's nervous. He's had his speech written for months, you know. But he's excited. He's really excited, and you know, I think he's overwhelmed a little bit. I remember he said a few months ago when he walked through the Hall of Fame, he literally got the chills and started to get choked up. That, like, you know, looking at the names that are in it and go down the hall of where Ruth and Gehrig and those guys were, and just to think that his name was going to be in there. You know, Jim's like the most humble, nicest dude you ever meet in your freaking life. You have no idea he hit 612 homers, one of the best home run hitters ever. So pretty cool.
And what's really cool also is that he's going in with such an awesome class. I mean, Chipper Jones and Trevor Hoffman, on and on and on. It's one of the best Hall of Fame classes we've seen.
That's a great class. Yeah, it's a great class. Vlad's going in, right? Vlad's going in.
Yep.
Trammell, Jack Morris. Yeah, it's a great class, man. And you know, playing against Chipper and playing with Jimmy and against Jimmy. You know, watching those guys, especially Vlad too. But they have some pretty great players.
Sean, let's get to the current Indians team, who have not played great baseball this year, but they're still have the biggest lead of any team because the division's so bad. What would your breakdown of the Indians be as we approach the two-thirds point in the season?
You know, it's funny with the Indians. I look at that team and I'm like, wow. I mean, they got a great rotation. I think that bullpen's really solid. And the lineup, you know, top to bottom, you know, when you got Lindor and Brantley and Ramirez and Encarnacion, I mean, just Alonso, you go down the list of guys that are just great hitters. You know, I feel like they're almost playing to the Central right now. Like, they're 8 games above 500, but the Central's been, like, pretty bad, you know, with, you know, the other teams, Minnesota not playing great, and Detroit and Kansas City. It's almost like they're playing down to the division a little bit. I just think they're a way better team than 8 games over 500, but I do think they'll make a run here in the second half when they need to, and I think they'll be playing good baseball going into the playoffs.
Sean, we were just talking about Trevor Bauer. I mean, this guy has been, you know, their best pitcher all season. He had another monster performance today against the Pirates, 10 Ks. He goes 7 innings, just 2 hits. I mean, this guy's been absolutely lights out this year. Are you surprised that he's been the Indians' best pitcher?
You know what? I know years ago when he got drafted by the Diamondbacks, you knew he had special stuff, and you know, and then everyone's talking about, well, he's a little different of a cat. He kind of does his own thing. He likes these drones. You know, he's a little, you know, just thinks about the things differently with the driveline stuff and the weighted balls and all the things that he does. But the thing about Trevor Bauer is, like, when you watch the evolution of him, he's always evolving. And I think to be on a team like the Indians with a manager like Tito that kind of lets guys be who they are. You know, Tito's a great way of embracing people and a great way of, like, just making people feel at home. I think Trevor Bauer these last few years is really starting to feel like he really belongs there, and he's just evolved as a pitcher. You know, using that curve, that curveball has always been nasty. He throws it for strikes more. You know, he's always had an electric fastball, and he's really just putting it together this year with, I think, how he's throwing his pitches, what, you know, and when he's throwing them, all that stuff. I just think he's really evolving into what we thought he might have been a few years ago.
We're talking with longtime big leaguer, now MLB Network analyst Sean Casey. Sean, part of the reason Bauer's been the best is because Kluber hasn't been as good for the last, you know, I'd say a month. Obviously, he's dealing with a knee issue that he took a shot in about 10, 12 days ago. He's not using that as an excuse, but how concerned would you be? Because he, you know, 5 of his last 7 starts have been below average or worse. And we're not used to that.
You know what? A guy like Corey Kluber, I think one thing about playing a full season is you're going to get banged up at some point. I mean, it's too tough not to, and especially when you rely on your legs so much and your knees and your drive and, you know, the pitcher's, you know, base of coming down the mountain. I think that can be also a big deal. So, you know, I think I don't worry about Corey Kluber. I think he's going to just manage to figure out how to, like, get through the starts, be hopefully above average because he's, you know, obviously one of the pitchers, best pitcher in the game. But, you know, I think right now it's more of a location thing. Balls are up a little bit. And, you know, I think they only last for so long. At some point here, he'll be dominating again when that knee starts to feel a little better, when they get that under control probably.
Sean, what'd you think of the Brad Hand move?
I love it. Are you kidding me? It's a great move, man. Being Brad Hand's, you know, one of the best pitchers in the game. You know, obviously he's done so well out there in San Diego, and that's a big pickup. Hats off to the Indians for pulling that one off.
Speaking of trade, Sean, there's a report today, John Morosi, who works at your network as well, he said that the Indians, and it looks like it's down to the Indians and Phillies for Adam Jones. His play's been in a little bit of a decline, but he's probably still a pretty big upgrade over what they have in the outfield. Do you think he makes sense for the Indians, and would you keep him in center or maybe think about moving him to right field?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a great fit. I mean, man, anytime you go pick up a veteran player down the stretch of like Adam Jones and put him into a pennant race, you've just hit him with a shot of adrenaline. You know, I think he's a leader. He's a good clubhouse guy. You know, he's a guy that, you know, would fit right in. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I like him out there in center field, but you know, maybe the old legs maybe go to right a little bit. We'll see. But you know, I think no matter what, where he plays, if he's on that team, they're better.
You know, speaking of, we were talking about, you know, Corey Kluber struggling a little bit. Well, Cody Allen has struggled a little bit in the back of the pen. And as a whole, the Indians' bullpen has struggled. Andrew Miller's been hurt, and his rehab assignment yesterday, he didn't pitch particularly well. Real concern, Allen and Miller going forward, or do you think they'll be fine down the stretch?
Like I said, it's just, you know, for every player, whether you're a position player or a pitcher, at some point you scuffle. For whatever reason, it's just, you know, if it's a confidence thing, a mental thing, or a physical thing. At some point during 6 months, 162 games, you're going to grind. And, you know, it seems like the back end of the pen's grinding a little bit. I think, you know, when Miller gets back and really gets back into a groove healthy, you know, I think he'll be okay. And I think Allen's just got too good of stuff. And, you know, he's been the rock for them these last few years. So he'll get it going again, too. It's just, you know, I think a little bit of a rut right now.
You know, it seems like, Sean, that, you know, the Astros and Red Sox and Yankees have been so good. It feels like everybody's written off the Indians, but I look at their starting rotation and what their bullpen can be if healthy and right, and I say I don't know if there's a team that can match the combination of their top 4 starters and their back 3 relievers, if it's right.
It's so funny you say that. I literally just looked at that today. I was looking down, and I was saying, man, you know, the Indians are 8 games above 500, but, man, look at that, like, Kluber and Carrasco and Bauer and Clevenger and Bieber, and like you go down to Allen, Otero, all the relievers that they have, and they just picked up Hand and Simber, you know. And I think, like, that's why I think, like, man, I kind of feel like they're playing possum. They're like just hanging around. They're winning the Central. No one's doing great there, but at some point here they make a run and they really prove that they're an elite team. And I'm sure most teams out there don't want to play the Indians in the playoffs.
Hey, Sean, I know that that Sanchez for the Yankees, he's got a groin injury now, but I mean, like, when you saw that loafing effort, like, what'd you make of that? And he apologized.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. You know, I mean, listen, I think you play it at one speed, you play it hard all the time. You shouldn't have to jog, run, jog, run. You know what I mean? You should
yeah.
you should be running the whole time.
I couldn't believe
it.
And
you have no questions, and you have to answer no questions from anybody. You play the game hard. You play it right. You play it at one speed. There isn't two speeds. There isn't, you know what I mean? I just disagree. So, yeah, first off, you know, early in the game when he kind of jogged after the ball with the play at the plate with Severino and they didn't get the guy, you know, Severino had some words for him. And then that one right there, which ended up ending the game. So I'm just not a big fan of non-hustling because I think even at the big league level, it takes no talent to hustle.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you're hurt, take yourself out of the game. Like, if you're out there, you got to go. I mean,
you got to go.
I pulled a groin before.
Had he gone at the speed he went when he saw that the guy that didn't make the play at second base, he'd have been safe.
Yeah, I agree.
What's worse, that or Trey Turner not even moving on the bunt?
I didn't see that. I didn't see. What happened there?
Well, Trey Turner, I don't remember exactly what day it was, sometime in the last week. He bunted, and, you know, he was almost definitely going to be out at first, but still, he didn't even move. In fact, not only did he not move, he started as soon as he bunted, he started to walk back to the dugout, essentially.
He did?
Yeah.
No, that's not okay.
No.
I mean, I said, just play the game, play it right. You know, you got a big league uniform on. Take some pride in the way you play the game, and just go hard. I remember talking to Mike Piazza one time at first base, and I was like, man, how do you play here in New York? You know, you're favored for the Mets. He goes, Case. He goes, if you play it hard every day and you play hard, no matter what the outcome, you know, the fans are going to appreciate it. And I remember that sticking with me.
Yeah,
you know, but that's the way it should be.
You know, I'm sure most of the fans that are listening already know this, but. You know, Sean Casey is world-renowned for being a talker at first base, obviously, with your opponent. Some guys don't talk, right, at all. Were there guys that you would try to talk to, Sean, that just wanted nothing to do with the conversation? Or were you so fun-loving that everybody came around with you?
Well, you know what? My rookie, I remember Ricky Henderson getting up first. I was like, oh, this is really cool, man. I'm going to talk to Ricky Henderson. I was like, hey, Ricky, how you doing? He's like, looked at me like, all right, I don't talk at first, right? And, like, next pitch, bam, he was gone. So I was like, okay. I didn't really ever say much to Ricky Henderson. You know who else was a guy that didn't talk much? And I bust his chops about to this day because he's a great guy. Craig Counsell, man. Counsell was so serious. He'd get on first base, and I'd go to talk to him, you know, hey, way to swing it, or, you know, good eye, or, man, it's a good day today, or whatever it is. And he would say nothing to me. And it would be so annoying. And I called him out, I think, a couple times when I was playing, but I had called him out recently when I see him. And I go, dude, what was up with that? He goes, Case, I wasn't good enough to talk. I had to get ready to get the sign and be serious and try and steal. He goes, and he was like, it was a little over the top. It's the way I had to play the game. So I could. And then Milton Bradley got his first hit, I think, in Montreal.
Yeah.
Came to first base, and I said, way to swing it, man. Congratulations on your first hit. He didn't say anything to me, and I think I might have said some choice words to him.
What about Utley?
I heard, man, you're not going that good. No, I was just trying to be nice.
I heard Utley doesn't talk either. Is that true?
No, Utley talks a little bit. At least he talks to me.
All right. Very good. Well, they were because they were talking about it on MLB Network. Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever, was the talking all just 100% about the kind of guy you were and being friendly, or was there any part of it that was strategy to distract the runner?
No, it was always being friendly, but I must admit, one time, my rookie year, I was with the Reds, and, you know, it was my probably third week in the big leagues, and I was holding on Henry Rodriguez. We're playing the Montreal Expos.
Yep.
And Ron Ballone's on the mound, and I don't really know Ballone because I just got called to the big leagues. I don't really know anybody, right? So Ballone obviously is a lefty, and you know when they used to throw the O. Henry bars onto the field?
Yeah, sure.
When Henry Rodriguez was home in Montreal. So I remember saying, he gets his lead, right? He's not going anywhere. He gets his lead, and I'm holding him on. I got, you know, I'm got my glove outstretched to the mound, and I say to him, hey man, that's really cool when you homer in Montreal, and they throw those O. Henry bars on the field, and he turns to me, he's like, yeah, thanks a lot, man. Right when he turns, Ron Ballone steps off, picks over, and I grab the ball, and I'm like, oh, my God, man, I'm so sorry. I was like, I had no idea. I don't even know Ron Ballone. I got to tag you out now, but, like, he didn't even see the ball come out. I felt so bad. I was like, oh, man, I didn't mean to do that.
Ooh, he probably hated you after that.
Yeah, I never. That was the only time in my career that ever happened.
Wow. Sean, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, fellas, good luck.
All right, there you go. The mayor, Sean Casey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.